This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney, company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home's more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage around the country. Hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. Just a heads up, I know we mentioned this tomorrow, or pardon me, we mentioned this yesterday. Tomorrow, though, we will be in Philadelphia, as we were a year ago, broadcasting for the annual Army-Navy game, which is as great a tradition as this, from a sporting point of view, this country has, and will be at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. I know Kirk Herbstreit's going to roll by, Bobby Carpenter. I got Ron Jaworski as well, so we'll set that up. Do our usual Football Friday show, but
yes,
with the pageantry of Army-Navy as well.
Jeff Munkin versus Ken Niumatalolo.
Mm-hmm.
Got it right.
Yeah, man. Just get it right tomorrow, because you're going to be saying it more than I will be.
Exactly. Because
I mess up every time I say
Ken.
Kenny M.
Kenny N.
So that'll be awesome. And right now we get back to the NFL. There's a lot of different things to hit. Jason LaConfora is back for his weekly spot, CBS Sports NFL Insider. What up, Jay? How you doing today?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Big J. Yeah. Big J. Jay, what are you making about these comments? They're interesting. At the very least, it's, you know, it's conversation, it's fodder, it's something to think about, something to chew on from Fangio about the playoff. You know, maybe it's time to kind of change things. The commissioner addressed this, the seedings, the divisional stuff. What do you think? Anything coming down the pike?
I don't think so. You know, I don't. Whenever this pops up every few, I don't know, 3 to 5 years, it seems like there's a putrid division that, you know, somebody wins by default. It was the NFC West probably about, what, I don't know, five, 6 years ago.
Something like that.
You know, it was the AFC South about every 3 years up until recently, and obviously the NFC East this year. I don't think the owners have any sort of stomach for that whatsoever. I mean, this is all about parity and keeping as many teams in the mix as possible. And if a mediocre team can tread water in a poor division and stay afloat and keep more people interested and maybe sell some more tickets, then these guys aren't going to turn their back on that. So, and you know, as long as you're playing sort of division, heavily weighted schedules within your division, you know, where 25% or whatever, you know, whatever, you're more than that. I can't even do math in my head right now, but you know, you're playing a pretty good portion of your schedule in division. That's going to resonate, and winning a division will continue to keep, you know, get a team in the playoffs and keep teams in the hunt. So, no, I don't see that changing anytime soon, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it would be cool, but I mean, you're probably right. Spygate Redux, what are we making of this? It seems, I mean, we talked about this obviously a lot. It feels like Belichick is telling the truth here. It's not like this was a coordinated effort, but what's the NFL say?
I mean, the NFL for now says we don't know enough about it, but the reality is it happened.
Exactly.
Against the rules. They're repeat offenders. You know, finding a smoking gun email between Bill Belichick or Ernie Adams or whomever and whatever freelance crew they used, I don't think that exists. I don't know that you're going to find a direct correlation from somebody in football operations for the Patriots and the people who were out there, you know, to do a vignette on a, you know, an advanced scout. But the bottom line is the Patriots have made the Patriot way very much about knowing the rule book inside out. We got every advantage. We know when you can free kick it. We know when you can drop kick it. We know when you can have an offensive lineman lined up like a wide receiver. You know, well, guess what? When you're repeat offenders and the game day operations manual, you better know that like the back of your hand too.
Yeah.
And when you've lost first round picks multiple times for being found to have violated it, then you better be damn sure whoever you're using, whether they're your employees or craft employees or three dudes you found in Craigslist who live in Cleveland and have a camera, they're representing you. And you better have somebody there who knows the rules, who holds them to the highest standard, who goes out of their way to not just tell one of the teams that you're going to be there, but to tell the league and to tell the team that you end up filming, who would have more of an interest in you not being there than the Browns because they're the team you play next week. And for whatever reason, that camera for 8 minutes was in complete violation of league rules. So I don't know, man. You know, fool me once, fool me twice. Like, this is three times. They've lost first-round picks in the past. Unless what I'm hearing is way off and something that, you know, is off in what the Athletic's been reporting, if this is what it looks to have been, regardless of intent or who sent the final order or who did what incorrectly, they screwed up again, and I think they should be punished accordingly.
Okay, so define accordingly, because we saw Sean Payton miss an entire season.
Yeah.
I mean, what is accordingly? What would you do if you were the commission?
I mean, I wrote a column on Wednesday kind of laying things out for me. I think you start at a first-round pick, and maybe you include two. I mean, I would come out right now and say they admit culpability, and it happened. We have the tape. The Bengals have the tape. So, you know what? We're going to investigate this thoroughly and get to the bottom of it. But as of right now, we can tell you, you don't have a first-round pick this year. And I don't know. Maybe you don't have a first-round pick, you know, in 2021 either. If a 1-4 didn't get through for Deflategate, which, frankly, I think was completely overblown and probably the least sort of offensive infraction that they've committed, I still don't – I mean, that one, I think the evidence was specious at best. But
yeah,
regardless
agreed. –
if you lose a 1 for Spygate, you know, for the original Spygate, and there's other allegations about other things that weren't proven that you got off on,
mm-hmm.
and then you lose a 1-4, and your quarterback's, you know, suspended for a quarter of the season, and that doesn't get your attention, then, you know, I don't know what will, but I'm ratcheting it up. You know, I'm certainly saying that, okay, we're going to raise the bar even higher now. Because if you can't police yourselves, then we're going to do it for you.
Okay, that's pretty good stuff. That's a very strong take. We're talking to Jason Lockenfora, Jason, NFL, CBS Sports NFL Insider. Jay, it's basically the middle of December here. It's week 15. Which organizations, I want names here, which organizations, to the best of your reporting ability, do you believe have already come to the determination that they are going to fire their coach?
I mean, absolutely, positively, definitively. I don't mean. I don't know that that's been conveyed. You know, I don't know that in some places those conversations have taken place. You know, explicitly. But I mean, we've got two openings now. Dallas is going to be changed unless they have an incredible playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
I expect the Giants to make changes. I mean, the question there is it the front office, the personnel side as well? Jacksonville, I expect to be a complete restart. Coaching and personnel side. And then Atlanta, something's going to happen there. Maybe Dan Quinn survives and the personnel department doesn't. You know, I think some of that's to be determined. But, you know, all those teams I mentioned, plus Washington and plus, you know, Carolina, something, you know, in all likelihood will change. And there are a couple other teams that might get added to that list pending what happens in the final 3 weeks. Yeah, it's possible, but I think we're looking at least, you know, 6 or 7.
Let me transition to what Roger Goodell said yesterday, about a couple of things around the league, one of which was a story that's dominated headlines for 2 years here, and that's Colin Kaepernick. It seems like the door is closed, like fully closed, and this isn't going to be in a conversation any longer. What's your take on Cap in the league based on Roger Goodell's statement?
Well, he's not going to be answering questions about it anymore, but it doesn't mean that there won't be another lawsuit down the road. It doesn't mean that if quarterbacks with far lesser pedigrees and accomplishments continue to get tryout after tryout and chance after chance, and no team ever brings him in for a workout, it doesn't mean that it won't still be talked about, you know, in the NFL circles and in American sporting circles. But certainly the league won't be lining up any more workouts for him. The league is now out of the Colin Kaepernick business entirely. And they'll go back to what they've always said prior to lining up that workout, which is that's for teams to decide. There's 32 of them. They make their own football operations decisions, and we butt out of it.
Okay. I'll tell you, one thing that seems to be changing pretty fast here, and not that anybody has said anything, but just, you know, body language, performance. Who's going to be the quarterback for the Raiders next season when they go into Vegas?
You know, they're not going to be – in position to grab one at the top of the draft without moving up. And the contract is manageable enough. I know that John Gruden in his history has always kind of had that wandering eye, and he's always kind of been lusting after some other quarterback every couple of years. But I'm not sure that there's going to be a lot out there that they look at and say is a definite upgrade. You know, they expected to have more pieces on offense, and frankly, offense isn't really their problem. I mean, they're running the ball pretty well. I mean, Jacobs is a little banged up now, but he's had a heck of a season. You know, Derek Carr's had a lot of weeks where he's looked really good. They can't stop anybody, and they're back to being who they were in recent years, which is you got to score 35 points to have a chance. And, yeah, you know, that's not feasible. And I think they need to continue to take some of the assets they got for Khalil Mack and try to put it back into that defense. I think they've made strides offensively, and obviously the Antonio Brown thing didn't work out. I think if you had Antonio Brown and Tyrell Williams, it changes the entire complexion of that offense. But, you know, Carr's helped develop Darren Waller, who they've re-signed. I don't think they look at an Andy Dalton and say, yeah.
Nah.
You know what I mean? I don't think they look at, you know, Cam Newton, who's, not completely healthy or whatever and been hurt the last 2 years, and say, yeah, let's go do that, you know? And I don't think they mortgage a lot of the draft capital they have to go get a quarterback, you know, who you're not sure of. Now, it would be interesting, like, let's say a Herbert or somebody like that falls out of the first round. His whistle, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or at the end of the first round, jump back in or, you know, move up, a few picks and do something at the end of the first round. You know, that might work, but even then, that guy's not going to play. You know what I mean? That guy's not going to be playing the first year in Vegas in their new football Taj Mahal, when they've made some gains this year. So I think their car will be there for at least another year.
All right, Jay, I want to ask you this real quick, and we're talking to Jason Lockett for CBS Sports NFL Insider. We obviously spent a lot of attention when the hire was made. We followed them for sure in terms of, you know, bringing some of the stories to the air for the first 5 or 6 weeks, and then we got wrapped up with the teams that really matter, and we kind of push them off to the side. What is the word on the street? What are people saying about the job that Kingsbury's done running the building and delegating? What kind of job has he done?
I think there's still questions being asked about that staff. And does he have enough around him, given how new all this is to him and what a leap it was? Specifically defensively, the Vance Joseph hire was weird. And let's be real. I mean, he deferred to the GM. I mean, it's pretty much the second straight staff that the GM, Steve Keim, put together. Yeah. You know, Steve Wilks didn't walk in there with a whole lot of jam. The front office put a lot of things in place for him. And then Kingsbury came out in his, if you remember his press conference, I don't know anybody. I've never worked with him. I don't know any of these guys. Thank God I got Steve Keim helping me out. Well, okay. So I think there's some serious questions to be asked about that. I don't think it by any stretch will it be back-to-back one and done's there. I don't think so. Long term, what do I make of it? I don't know. You know, I'd say I'm still a little skeptical.
Yeah.
Is he going to be a guy who's with Kyler Murray through the entirety of Kyler Murray's rookie contract? I think that remains to be seen. Expectations are obviously going to be ratcheted up every year, and at the very least, I think there'll be some changes to people around Cliff Kingsbury.
That's interesting. You know, last question for you, JLC. Your neck of the woods. The Baltimore Ravens hosting the New York Jets tonight. Lamar Jackson likely going to play. How advisable is that? What are you hearing about his quad injury?
Yeah, if this was serious, he wouldn't. They're just following the guide that they're being given by their medical people. And if this was something they were seriously concerned about, they would have no problem sitting him down. But they feel comfortable where he is. I think Mark Andrews is going to play in this game as well. Mm. He sat a lot of the Buffalo game more as a precaution then, just because they didn't want it to turn into something, you know, more significant than what it appeared to be. Look, if they had any reservations about it, if they felt like he couldn't be himself and he was being, you know, he was limited by any great degree, if their medical people thought it was better to sit him than not, then that's what they would do. You can go back to a lot of their games this year. A lot of times they only need him for two quarters anyway,
yes.
And this may be one of those. And they have not been shy about taking him out of games early in the third quarter when the scoreboard, you know, pointed to it.
I don't know. Everything you just said probably tells me I should not have taken the 16 points is basically what I just heard there, Jay.
Well, if it's RG3 in the second half and they pull a bunch of defensive starters too, then that old backdoor cover. So, I don't know.
Still counts the same. Money's still green.
Yeah.
Backdoor, front door, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So the points, you still might be all right with the points.
All right, man. I'll see you Sunday. Thank you, Jay.
You guys have a good one. Thank you.
You too. Jason Lockin for CBS Sports NFL Insider. All right, let's get to Kawhi last night. The Raptor fans were phenomenal. But Santa was squawking in the hallways today, and he actually asked the question, was it a little too much? Interesting when you look at it from that angle. They obviously did the right thing, but they did they do it too much? We'll actually talk about that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, so Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Step away from a little football, and let's venture to the North. We the North, the Raptor fans, showing up, showing out, showing the respect that Kawhi Leonard deserved, the adulation, the praise. We knew it was coming. Was it a little much?
I don't think so.
If you're a Raptors player, you're getting your ass handed to you. I mean, they beat you up pretty good.
Look, the Clippers are good. We know this.
The Raptors are good.
Well, are they? I mean,
yeah.
We're kind of like confused about the Raptors a little bit. Sometimes they look great.
Well, their record's good.
I know, but sometimes the better teams they don't play so well against. But, I mean, were they emotionally – was this emotional overload? In some ways it was. The ovation was rousing. It was deserved. Kawhi walked around and dapped up everybody from Masai to Nick Nurse to all the players, some of whom he didn't even know, I'm sure.
Exactly.
You could see him giving them
you could see the quick one.
Like halfway hugs and stuff. But look, they gave him his ring. I thought it was a good look, and it felt right. Even though they, ended up getting beat up by the Clippers last night, I thought the Raptors fans did right. Now, Sanford's issue here is that it's the middle of, not the middle, but it's the beginning part of the season. These games mean something at some point.
Now they mean something because NBA games mean nothing.
Well,
what is it? They
do seeding-wise, record-wise. They don't necessarily.
Perceptually, they mean something.
Exactly. And so Sam just,
what was he saying?
He's complaining because.
He's always complaining.
He's like, are they going to do this for, Danny Green? Are they going to do it? Who else is coming back? There's a couple others, right?
I think my issue is more, okay, fine. I didn't think they should give him an applause, but fine. You want to give him an applause because he brought you the title before he left?
Dude,
fine.
Pete Sampter, it's not like it was...
I'm fine with that. Like, I probably wouldn't have applauded. Certainly not a standing ovation, but if you want to give him the applause...
He won you a championship. He won the country a championship.
I personally wouldn't have. I would have been fine with booing, but I'm also fine with them.
You would have
booed
him?
I probably wouldn't have booed him, but I would have been fine with somebody booing him also. But I'm also fine with them applauding.
I know.
But my issue is
why so much hate,
he's
man?
But here's my first of all, the guy was there for 60 games and
he did something that Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady couldn't do. Damon Stoudemire couldn't do it. Nobody could do it.
And then he dragged out this whole thing. I'm gonna stay, or I think I love it here in Toronto. And then he bolted to California anyway. The other question, the thing that I had the real issue, though, with is, A, they give him, a loud, standing, long ovation.
Right.
And then they, did a tribute video and gave him his ring in, a ceremony before the game. He's a visiting player. Give him the ring during practice. Give him the ring and, take a couple pictures. Not, on the court before the game.
But this is a guy
wearing another uniform.
Just beat him up.
But
I can't.
The fan base... obviously.
I think my issue is more with the Raptors than it is with the fan base.
But the Raptors, they have to give their fan base what they want.
Correct.
And the fan base never got a chance to properly laud, thank, applaud. Or say goodbye to Kawhi Leonard.
Correct.
Because basically, as soon as the season was over, we knew he was jettisoned across the country going to the LA Clippers. And so this was a chance for them collectively to show their appreciation to Kawhi Leonard. And I thought they did it the right way. And the video, the tribute video was really cool.
I love those videos.
Because they put the video, it was basically his footsteps to the corner. And then they, like footsteps to the corner. You imagine the shot going up. It's all in dark right now. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it comes through, you know, lights fly on and it's like the celebration after that shot against the 76ers drops in after three bounces on the rim or four bounces on the rim. I mean, it was, I thought it was well done.
What the hell's your problem?
Yeah, when the Heat get Dwayne Wade a video after 20 years of service and three championships, fine. 60 games and a title? That's your expectation?
That's your bar?
I understand it's their first title, but like 60 games and a title is what you give a standing ovation,
like
a tribute video, and a ring before the game on your home court.
Samter, you will always remember
your
first time.
You know what? Get Baker Mayfield over there to plant the Ohio State flag in the middle of the court. That's what that is.
That's a good point. But you will always remember your first time. You always. And this is the Toronto Raptors' first time.
And they wanted to celebrate.
Yeah, but you know what, though? First time or not? You know, act like you not that you've been there before, because you haven't been there before.
They can't go Barry Sanders. They've never been in the end zone before.
But what did Barry Sanders do in his first touchdown?
I don't know what he did.
Tiki, what did you do in your first touchdown?
I don't remember.
Did you dance? Did you spin? Did you break dance in the end zone? Did you dunk it on the goalpost?
I didn't do
it. He's too little. He's a little tiny guy.
He handed it off to the ref like he did 50 other times, because that's what someone with class does.
That is a great question. I honestly don't remember what I did.
It's on your home court. Have some respect for yourself as an organization.
You know what's happening.
Have some respect for yourself.
You have had the...
This is coming from the same guy who ripped Patriots fans for booing their team because they have a bad offensive performance. Listen, fans need to show their team love or hate, not show another team's players love.
Oh, God.
It's insulting to your own team.
You know what's happening? You have had the soul. You have had every drop of fandom removed from your body. I mean, you've been, and I've been in this business even a couple of years longer than you. You have been so skewed. You are so sideways now that I think you don't know what to think. That's what I actually think.
Listen, if you are going to rip Patriot fans for booing their team, but laud Raptors fans for cheering a guy in another team just for what he did in the past?
Well, I was booing their petulance and their short-sightedness. I'm lauding the Raptors fans. Think about this.
For their short-sightedness.
No. Here's the thing. How they celebrated when that ball went ding, 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 dunk. Yeah. That's the way that you celebrate last night when you see the man who delivered, who authored that moment. Then again, Tracy McGrady couldn't do it. I mean, Damon Stoudemire, Mighty Mouse, could do it. Isaiah Thomas tried to build that team, couldn't do it. Andrea Bargnani, first overall pick, couldn't. None of these guys could do it. Vince Carter couldn't do it. No, certainly, what's his name? DeMar DeRozan couldn't do it.
How long were those guys there for? How many guys have a Kawhi Leonard jersey in Toronto? Five. There's five Kawhi Leonard Raptors jerseys out there.
What did the fan with the turban wear last night?
I didn't see.
I didn't see. What
I didn't
he
see.
Last
I meant to look, and I didn't. See if we can find it.
We'll find it, sure. But Santer's clueless on that. Raptor fans, you're tremendous. Great job. Did they stretch it too far? Now that's the question we ask. I mean, nothing good could be sacred. You know, I mean, come on. Santer, get out of here. Mr. Miserable. I mean, come on. What happened to you? I mean, you were always a little curmudgeon when we first met you. But, I mean, not even a speck, not even a modicum of appreciation for great fans, great people of Canada, doing the right thing? Come on.
Give him a few claps, say thank you, and then you're done.
I'm going to give you
Don't
a few
Don't give him
claps.
A ring, a clap tribute, right and a clapper. Standing ovation.
All right, let's get the update here from Ack. Ack, what's going on, buddy?
How are you?
You good?
I'm good.
Good, man.
Very
good.
Happy for Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I mean, what a pro's pro. I mean, listen, the guy was traded there. You know, that's the other thing, too, Tika. Like, if he went there and he gave these false signals, which, by the way, you know, because don't let the facts get in the way. The way Santo lines up his story, he was not out there saying, I'm going to come back. He kept his mouth shut like a smart person.
It was all speculation.
Correct.
He was seen, like, looking at a house.
Always secondary.
Oh, he's going to stay. He's looking at a house.
Yeah.
Well, he's probably renting it.
People talking for him. He kept his mouth shut. He bowled. He delivered. And then when he had the choice, which is his professional right, he exercised that right. He went back home. And, oh, yeah, by the way, now the Clippers will probably win the championship this year. Mm. He's such a great player. He really is. All right, so we have Ax update coming up next. And how about this? I want to get a little bit on the Steelers here. What they've done specifically, you know, in the last month or so has really been glossed over to the point where he's an unconventional choice given the record. But is Mike Tomlin the coach of the year? Talk about the Steelers coming up a little bit. Ax update is right now. Here's Rich Ackerman.
Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a key AFC South showdown. Let's see if those Titans are for real. Let's go. What do you got there, Ryan Tannehill? As the Titans take on Deshaun Watson, he's got to bounce back as well. Texas looked terrible last week. Big matchup, while others will see Kansas City take on Denver. They've been playing better football last month or so. Plus, other regional action. And it all starts with JB and the crew getting you ready for the day on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Fat Joe is going to be in the house coming up next segment. Never met Fat Joe.
I have. Cool guy.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
Got a retirement album coming out.
Retirement?
Yeah.
Ah.
Seems young to retire. We'll ask
42, him. 43?
Yeah, we'll ask him.
You get a little, you're not going to drop Pitt, you know, the rap game. There is an expiration date for the rap game. I mean,
true.
You know. He's...
True, but you evolve, it seems like.
For sure,
you get a little bit,
for sure.
I mean, retirement means he's like going on the other side. He's going to be producing.
Producing,
finding,
directing.
Finding
49?
New acts.
He is 49. I thought he was 43. 49. He's older than we are.
Yeah.
Wow.
Doesn't feel that old, though.
No.
Doesn't
no.
feel like he's been around that long to be that old, I mean.
He burst on the scene in the 90s, man. He's been around a long time.
I know, but look.
I mean, in terms of full throttle mainstream.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought he was 49, but he's a big-time sports fan. He's a cool dude, so Joe's going to hang out with us coming up at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific in studio. I'm going to stop short of saying, just because of what the Ravens have done and what John Harbaugh has done with the Ravens, with Lamar Jackson. I know Roman's very, very responsible for that as well. I would not vote Tomlin the coach of the year. I personally would stop short of doing that myself. Yeah. Doesn't mean he hasn't been phenomenal.
No, I mean, maybe Shanahan's in this conversation. There's a lot of coaches that deserve it this year. But Mike Tomlin feels interesting because of where they started. They were 0-3. I mean, they lost to the San Francisco 49ers in that third week of the season. And I think we knew San Francisco was good. I don't think we knew how good they were. So it explains it a little bit, you know, in hindsight. But after that game, and I was just reading these quotes from Mike Tomlin after this one, and this is what makes him so good. And I can imagine him just knowing how he speaks and how his cadence is and how he relates to his players and these conversations that he has with them. This is his quote, and it's awesome. I can hear him saying it, too.
Okay.
Quote, "We won't blink. We won't make excuses for our current state. We won't seek sympathy for our current state. All the things that are associated with our current state, we know and understand. We're professionals. We are capable of enduring it. We better get prepared for it in the midst of it. That's the messaging. That's our mentality." And we all know what happened since then. He's turned it around. They've gone 8-2 without your starting quarterback, without Le'Veon Bell, who was, you know, it was foregone he was leaving, but without Antonio Brown, who left in the offseason. Juju Smith-Schuster has been banged up a little bit this year, so he's relied on these young, unproven players. James Conner, who you thought was going to replace Le'Veon Bell, he's been hurt for a lot of the season. And then Delvin Cook, who nobody knows because he played at Samford. Delvin Hodges, who played at Samford, is your starting quarterback. He's 3-0 and completes 71% of his passes. And by the way, their defense has gotten great again to the point where it feels like the old school Steelers, as opposed to we got to outscore you Steelers, what it was for the last few years with Ben Roethlisberger and those offensive weapons. So, yeah, Mike Tomlin may not win Coach of the Year. You're right. Because I'd probably vote for Shanahan for Coach of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike Tomlin deserves, this is probably the best job that he's done in a lot of years with the Steelers because of all the adversity that he's had to deal with and how he's kept this team focused. And look, they're not like blowing people out.
No.
But they're winning games. You know, they're finding ways.
They don't have the personnel to blow
games.
You out.
That's exactly right.
I mean, they
right.
really don't. They shouldn't even be winning some of these games.
Exactly right.
If you think about it.
And so it's a testament to the mentality that he's put into this squad. And we always talk about it, right? You take on the personality of your head coach, and it's why when you have the presentation or the perception or the feel of a weak head coach,
yep.
That's why you got to move on sometimes. You might like the guy. You might like be a good like football mind. But if your team is taking on these weak-ish traits,
yeah.
You got to move on from him. Mike Tomlin, this is why I don't think the Steelers never even considered moving on from him, because they knew that when push came to shove, he'd turn into this guy, and it's showing up on the field with his team.
You know, toughness and conviction is non-negotiable. You can't fake it.
That's right.
You either have it, and more importantly, you convey it in a way that is contagious. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to get up in front of a group of grown men and yell and rant and rave and break stuff, which you really can't even do. I mean, that might work once.
Yep.
But that's going to get old really quick. You've got to be able to connect to the minds of men who have kids, who go home to wives, mm-hmm. who go home to all the circumstances we all go home to.
Right.
And somehow have that message get with them when they leave the facility. It permeates them to a point when they get in their car and they get on the interstate and they pull into their mansion or their condo, whatever, that it stays with them. It's, and you know what's amazing, too? You know, he talked about, I was writing, no sympathy, no excuses. I mean, I'm just thinking of my coach. You know, I'm going to give Gase a chance. Most Jet fans really do not believe in him, and I get that. Giant fans can't wait till Shermer's gone, and he'll be gone in a couple of weeks. But the two coaches in this city, Gase and Shermer, all right? If they were to say that, you know, no excuses, no sympathy, we wouldn't believe them.
Yeah.
We wouldn't believe them.
Yeah, you don't feel it.
It wouldn't feel authentic. Because now, part of it is because there's nothing to, there's nothing that reinforces that their message has withstood the test of time. You know what I mean? Gase kind of flamed out with Miami, and Shermer, you know, has a really, really ugly overall record as a head coach, and players know that.
Yeah, you're right. So, but the fact that Tomlin's won the championship, he's never had a losing record.
Yeah.
He's always in in contention for the division and thus the playoffs. And even if they've had disappointments in the past, you know that they're always there,
mm-hmm.
right? No matter what's going on, they're always there. The distractions, etc., they're always there, and that's a testament to Mike T. And, you know, the biggest thing that you can't help but look at is how the heck are they doing this with Hodges as their quarterback? I mean, it defies logic.
He's better than Mason Rudolph, first of all.
Agreed.
He's better.
But it defies logic that a kid from a tiny school,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not even talking like, they're just in the, are they in the FCS? I think
they just transitioned.
Maybe they did. I can't remember.
I'm not even sure if they did. You know what?
It might be a different school that we're thinking of. I know we had this conversation about a school.
Well, Liberty came up. Liberty has transitioned.
Liberty
for sure.
Transitioned into the FBS.
I think they might be FBS.
I think you're right. FCS.
FCS.
Yeah, but to have this kid who was just kind of hanging around as a practice squad arm, you know, maybe we get something out of him down the line. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right. Likely not our replacement for Ben Roethlisberger. People are starting to have this conversation. Could he be the long-term solution? And it would be unprecedented, right, to think about in an organization as storied as the Pittsburgh Steelers to have, you know, Delvin Hodges be your franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe it's circumstance. Maybe people just don't have a book on him. Maybe they haven't seen, you know, enough of what he does well and what he does poorly to know how to attack him the right way. But the organization and the protection of this kid in this system is telling, right? And let's think about what Mike Tomlin said about him. Why is he going to start over Mason Rudolph? Because he's not going to kill us. Not because he's good, mm-hmm. or not because I see like this potential, or not because he throws a deep ball.
Which
great.
He does throw a better deep ball.
He does,
than,
but
than
I'm
Mason
saying,
Rudolph.
But he didn't say
no,
any of that
did.
Stuff.
He
was like, he's not going to kill us.
Give our defense a chance to win.
Give
basically.
Our chance a defense a chance to win. He's not going to give. He's not going to lose football games for us. And by the way, he's 3-0, completing almost 71% of his passes, and not making mistakes. Right? It's just like. It's almost like Mike Tomlin willed that into his head.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why he couldn't get it done with Mason Rudolph, but it's like he willed this.
I think Rudolph has arm limitations, really.
Maybe.
I really do.
I think you're right. You're right, because he never throws the ball on the field. When he does, it kind of floats up there.
Yeah,
but he willed this into to Duck Hodges' head.
Uh-huh.
And he's believing in himself, and they're winning.
Yeah.
Right? They're likely to make the postseason as long as they hang on for these last 3 weeks. And it'll be the best job that Mike Tomlin's ever done.
And, you know, it's interesting. And by the way, their game has been flexed. So they're playing the Bills. It's a big moment for the Bills, for sure. And it's also, you know, another reinforcement that the Steelers matter. Because let's face it, if the Steelers just languished after that 0-3 start, and even if the Bills were 9-3 as they are,
yeah.
this game would not be flexed.
That's
here.
Right.
A big part of the motivation to flex this game is because the Steelers are still standing,
yeah.
and they have a national following. You know, a few things jump out to me. Like, first of all, they trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick,
mm-hmm.
all right? They give up a first.
might be the greatest trade ever.
You know, it's amazing because if another team did this, right, that uh-huh. they start out 0-3, They lose their starting quarterback. They make this trade that at the time was largely criticized for the equity they gave up.
And it felt like a favor to the Miami Dolphins. Seriously, right?
It felt weird.
We know that you guys are stripping down a little bit. We'll take him. Right, I know you guys.
It didn't make sense from the Steelers' point of view in real time.
You guys couldn't find a fit for him. Yeah. Where are you playing? You play him in the box? You playing him back? What's he, a free? Is he strong? What's he doing? Mm-hmm. Like you couldn't find a spot for him.
Yeah, we'll try to kick the tires. Yeah, we'll take him. Got here.
He's like the most impactful player on that team.
If the Jets did that, or if the Browns did that, they would have never recovered. They would have burned a first round pick. They would have never found the proper role for him. He'd still be in positional oblivion, if you will. And you know, a lot of I used to say this about Patrick Ewing a lot, right? And it reinforces the notion that we lose sight of the process. A lot of Knick fans, although now they realize what we had, because we're just horrendous. Ben Patrick would win 50-plus games every year. But the point being, oh, Patrick never won the ring. Oh, he never delivered. He wasn't fully clutch. He would miss free throws. Mm-hmm. He missed the layup at 97 against the Pacers. You know, all this stuff, right? 95. All this stuff, though. The thought that Patrick Ewing wasn't great was never lost on me, because I would watch him will B-minus players to a place that they probably shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
And I think that that's how you really evaluate greatness. Any head coach, back to the coaching now, like you can look at their, go to Pro Football Database and look at their records, and like the 14-2s jump out, and the conference championship appearances jump out, and the Super Bowl wins and appearances jump out. But a lot of, like, some of the best work is done like with a 9-7 season, where for another coach, you're 4-12.
Yeah, and that's,
but people don't really look at that.
Yeah, and think about this. And DeSale just reminded me of this, because after 0-3, and the Redskins were also in this same boat, they fired Jay Gruden, and we're having a conversation.
Yes, we did.
Like a legitimate conversation. Should the Steelers get some draft equity and trade Mike Tomlin to the Washington Redskins, which is unprecedented.
I remember well.
It's not unprecedented, but it's rare, because obviously Gruden
did it.
His brother Gruden, John Gruden, got traded to the Buccaneers in a sense, but it never happens. We're having this conversation. Steelers are going nowhere.
Yeah,
Big Ben's out. There's no skill position players. Juju Smith-Schuster notwithstanding.
The Browns are going to run away with the division.
The Browns are crushing this division.
LaVar's not for real.
You're right.
That's what we were saying.
That's exactly what we were saying. Mike Tomlin would be better served if he left and went to the Redskins, where they have a young quarterback in Dwayne Haskins. Yeah. He can remake the defense in his own mind. He can change the narrative about himself. And maybe it's time for him to leave Pittsburgh. Fast forward 8 weeks later, he's on the cusp of the postseason. He's guaranteed now to have a non-losing season again. Yep. So again, still in his career, he's never had a losing season. And we're saying it's the best job that he's ever done. 8 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, we were ready to move him out. I mean, that's why this quote, which was I got to find it because I just took it off. But the quote about like being steely-minded.
No sympathy, no excuses.
Exactly, is amazing. I mean,
boy, that really rings true.
It really does.
As you're looking for this, I want to say something fast.
But it's also him. You know what I mean? So yeah,
he's authentic.
Exactly.
I love him.
He's imparting this upon his team. But the reason it works, and you said this, is why it wouldn't work for like Gase or Shermer or any of these other guys, because this is Mike Tomlin. Yep. And if you've never met him, it's exactly how he is.
Yeah.
And I remember doing an interview with him in the Super Bowl out in Arizona, with the Cardinals. And I asked him this question. I was like, Mike, you have like this cool personality. You're always wearing the heavy coat, and
he's got the cross.
Like, you have this look, right? And I asked him like, where's that Mike Tomlin? He's like, not today. I'm not doing it today, Teague. Today's about winning the Super Bowl. And it was just real.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
It was like hard but real.
Don't waste my time with that nonsense.
I got one goal. It's like, I don't need it right now.
Yep.
That's not what my focus is.
I like that.
This is why I've always appreciated
you've
him.
You've always defended him. I'll be honest. I mean, the record's been stated. I wasn't sure. I fluctuated on Mike. Now, the one thing I never fluctuated on, I always said fast, I'd love to play for this guy.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
He's my kind of guy that I would love to play for if I was ever good enough to play professionally.
Yeah.
But I was teetering on, is the message stale? Is he a little overrated?
Yeah.
Is he the guy to reboot this in Pittsburgh? and I was 100% wrong. He's done a masterful job.
We won't blink.
Masterful.
We won't make excuses for our current state. We won't seek sympathy for our current state. Man.
And by the way, one of the two losses they had was an overtime game to the Ravens.
I know.
Fat Joe's in the house. Big-time sports fan. We'll have a little fun with him coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.